This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Wassalatu wassalam ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir li amri wa hlul 'uqdatam min lisani yafqahu qawli. Someone's really excited about me speaking. I stand here again in front of you, as I have many times this Ramadan, between you and iftar, I'm sorry. Inshallah ta'ala, in these short moments that we have together, I want to convey to you something that I feel very passionate about, and that's something that I believe this institution is really working towards, and that is creating a foundation. I think a lot of the problems that we face individually and as a community it's a lot like what happens to a tree that doesn't have a solid foundation. So, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran uses the example of a tree. And He gives us the example between the goodly tree and the evil tree. And the difference between a tree that can withstand weather and a tree that cannot is the roots. Am I right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes this good tree, this solid tree. It says, "Asluha thabit wa far'uha fi as-sama'." That its foundation is solid. Thabit, it's strong. It's very deeply rooted. Wa far'uha fi as-sama'. And this is important. Allah says, and its branches reach towards the sky. See, the taller a tree gets, the deeper its roots have to be. And that's what we have to understand as individuals developing ourselves and as a community, as an ummah, is that in order for us to reach the sky, in order for us to grow, in order for us to become, you know, reach lofty goals, we have to have solid roots. We have to get deeper in order to get higher, in order to get larger. And when you look at the mission of the Prophet ﷺ, you find something very interesting about the mission of the Prophet ﷺ. There is a very, very important hadith in which Aisha radiallahu anha says about the Prophet ﷺ, or about his mission. And she says that if the first verses to be revealed were telling the people to leave alcohol. You know, I heard some of the statistics at the beginning, which were very, very painful to listen to. But she said that if the first verses to be revealed were to not drink alcohol or to give up fornication, two of the things that were mentioned in the statistics, that the people would have said, we will never give up alcohol and we will never give up fornication. However, the first verses to be revealed were not give up alcohol and give up fornication. She explains to us that the first verses, and when we look at how the mission of the Prophet ﷺ was completed, the first verses were creating that bond with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They were creating a relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, deeply rooted in love and fear. Now, how do these fit together? What we have to understand is that the mistake that many of us have made, and I think a lot of the mistake that we've made as an education, you know, and in Islamic education, is that we come with the rules first. So in other words, Aisha radiallahu anha is telling us that if the first verses to be revealed were do not commit fornication or leave alcohol, people would have said, we'll never leave that. But the first verses created a sense of love, attachment, and accountability. The first verses that were revealed trained these people's hearts. And then they went on to become some of the best human beings to walk the earth. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala came and trained their hearts first before He came and told them the rules. Unfortunately, what has happened and what I've observed is that a lot of us, we grow up seeing Islam like a list of haram and halal, right? It's a list of do's and don'ts. And sometimes we grow up with a concept of Allah which is absolutely false and absolutely imbalanced. It's a concept of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that goes like this. You better not mess up right? You better not make any small mistake or slip, because if and when you do, Allah will take you and put you in hell. It's this concept of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's wrath without being balanced with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy. And it's a very dangerous thing to do, to teach our children about Allah in that way. That's not how Allah speaks about Himself. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, we're taught that Allah's mercy prevails over His wrath. But the way that we grow up learning about Allah, it's almost like we're learning about a really scary police officer, right? Like, you know what? If you grow up and your family is always telling, if you're always telling a child, you know what, you better be careful, because if you make one mistake, the police is going to come, take you and put you in jail. You better be careful, better watch yourself, because the police is, you know what I mean? How is this person going to feel about the police as they grow up? And moreover, what type of relationship is this person going to want to have with the police? Really, it's going to be a relationship of avoidance. And a lot of young people grow up, and that's the relationship they have with religion in general, and Islam in particular. It's this relationship of, you know what, everything's haram, and it's this deep-seated fear, this deep-seated feeling of, no matter what I do, I'm always going to mess up. And it will never be good enough. So let me just stay away from that completely. And a lot of that is our fault. And that's because of the way we use religion. Unfortunately, what I've seen is that we use religion to control our children. Or we think to control our children. Right? Haram. We have children growing up. They can't say their name. But the only thing that they learn is the word haram. Right? Haram is this, it's the first thing we teach. But Aisha radhiyallahu anha is telling us the opposite. She's saying that that's not the way the Prophet ﷺ taught. He didn't come with the rules. God, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, didn't come with the rules first. What was the methodology of the Prophet ﷺ? In a very important hadith that begins by talking about rules, right? How many of you know this hadith? You probably all learned it growing up. That what is lawful is clear and what is unlawful is clear. Everyone? And between them are the doubtful matters, right? And we're told to stay away from the doubtful matters to protect us from falling into the haram or the unlawful. Now, what's interesting about this hadith is that much of the discussion of this hadith ends there. At least that's what I thought for like a long time, right? But my mind was blown when I realized that the hadith doesn't end there. That discussion of the Prophet ﷺ, it doesn't end at rules. It doesn't end at haram, halal, and mutashabihat, right? The lawful and the unlawful and the disagreed about, or rather the those things that we don't know exactly about, the doubtful matters. It doesn't end there. The Prophet ﷺ goes on in this discussion to say, "Inna fil jasadi mudgha." Indeed, in the body there's a lump of flesh. And this is where he gives us the secret, right? He gives us that tool, that key. And he says, "Inna fil jasadi mudgha, idha salahat salah al jasadu kullu." That indeed in the body there's a lump of flesh. If it's set right, then the entire body is set right. وَإِذَا فَسَدَتْ فَسَدَ الْجَسَدُ كُلُّ. And if it's corrupted, the entire body is corrupted. أَلَا وَهِيَ الْقَلْبِ. Indeed, it's the heart. The discussion here has to be around, how are we building the foundation? How are we building people's hearts? And how are we connecting people to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at a root level? This type of institution is so essential, because it teaches people how to get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at a foundational level. How to build the heart. The Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam, in his very beautiful extended dua, وَلَا تُخْزِنِي يَوْمَ يُبْعَثُونَ. He says to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, do not disgrace me on the day when everyone is brought back. يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ مَالٌ وَلَا بَنُونَ إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. On the day when nothing is going to benefit anyone of wealth or children. So in other words, power isn't going to benefit you. All the power you had in this world, all the wealth you had in this world won't benefit you. إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ, except for the one who returns back to Allah with a heart that's sound, with a heart that's healthy. It goes back to the heart, because the heart is the master of the body. The heart is where you connect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying, if you get the heart, then you've got the whole body. And what does that mean? It means that actions follow from that. I mentioned in the previous hadith that the hadith begins by talking essentially about fiqh, right? Right? That what's lawful is clear, what's unlawful is clear, and between them are doubtful matters. This is a discussion about rules, right? This is a discussion about haram and halal. But look at how the Prophet ﷺ links it to the heart. He says that if you want, for us to be able to follow the rules about haram and halal, for us to be able to stay away from the haram, and for us to be able to stay upon the obligatory action, we have to train our hearts. And that's how we will be able to do that. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us it's by training the heart. Now, in terms of how, I was listening to the brother talk about some of the struggles that we face in college and in school and in the workplace really. And what kept going through my mind, and you were mentioning how we go to these conferences and we get these spiritual highs, but then we go back and we have to struggle. And what came to my mind is the fact that sometimes we forget that the heart is just like the body. And the heart has to be taken care of just like the body does. See, if you have a human being who eats, you know, once a month, what's going to happen to that person? Or worse yet, 1 month out of the year, right? Someone only eats 1 month out of the year, what's going to happen to that person? I know you're hungry, but you know, right? You're going to die, right? That person will starve. They will become, first the body will become very weak, and then that person will eventually die. They will eventually starve to death. And that's what we do spiritually, unfortunately. So even when we talk about, okay, we go to these conferences or we go to these talks every once in a while when we have access and we get a spiritual high, but then what? It's like a person who's eating and then doesn't eat for a month or even doesn't eat for a week. Look what happens to us. We don't eat for a few hours, right? Y'all are feeling it. That's what happens to the body when it starts to be deprived of its necessary food. And the heart is exactly the same way. That the one who designed the physical self also designed the spiritual self. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created both, the spiritual world and the physical world. So the same way that we maintain the body, we have to also maintain the heart. The heart also needs food. What happens to a person who says, you know what, I'm not going to breathe today because I have an exam. Let me keep that for tomorrow after the exam because I'm busy. I mean, what would happen to someone crazy enough to do that? Again, guys? We'll suffocate to death, yeah? You will die. Why? Because you're deprived of oxygen. It's the same thing with the heart. See, what happens, the reason why the heart becomes weak, the reason why our iman becomes weak, is the same exact reason that the body becomes weak if you're not feeding it or you're not breathing. It's exactly the same. But what happens to us is that we are very, very careful about feeding the body. You know, we'd never miss a breath, right? It doesn't matter how busy you are, doesn't matter what exam you're studying for, doesn't matter what airport you're at, you feel me? You're not going to miss a breath. But it's easy for us to miss salah, for example. It's easy for us to pray outside of the time, or maybe just miss salah altogether. But salah is oxygen. Salah is the oxygen of the heart. So when we find ourselves emotionally, spiritually, and psychologically becoming weak, we have to go and see, how's my oxygen? Just like you do with the body. You go to a doctor and the doctor sees that your body is weak. Your body is sick. They're going to say, okay, are you eating? Are you drinking enough water? Are you breathing? You're going to check your oxygen level, right? And if your oxygen level is low, they're going to say, you know what? Your body is weak because your oxygen is low. Or you're not eating. You know what? The last time you ate was last week, right? Or you're not drinking water. And this is exactly what we do to our hearts. And so what happens is when we are faced with challenges, as we will be in life, you know, when you're faced with a challenge and you are weak, it's just like a body. You go up and now, okay, you haven't been eating, you're not breathing properly, you're not drinking, and now you're going to run a marathon. What's going to happen? Good, okay, you're awake. Right? You're going to collapse, you're going to faint. You can't finish the marathon. How can you ask a person to run a marathon who isn't even breathing? That's insane, right? Or isn't eating, or isn't drinking. And this is exactly what happens in our lives. We have to run marathons, right? The things that we face in this society, and really every society in the world, is like running a marathon. We have challenges. We have personal challenges. We have family challenges. We have financial challenges. We have health challenges. There isn't a human being in the world that isn't facing some challenge, right? We face many challenges. This life is a marathon. This life is a marathon. There's no way around it. We all just have different challenges, right? Some people, their challenge is in their health. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all good health. My own aunt just passed away on Wednesday from a long battle with cancer. Please make dua for her. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy on her. We have sometimes health challenges. Sometimes we have financial challenges. Sometimes we have mental health challenges, psychological challenges, emotional challenges, relationship challenges. This is just reality. So we have to run this marathon. We can't stop. If you stop, you die. You have to keep going. You know, they say that you don't drown by falling into the ocean. You drown by staying there. You understand? That's very deep. It's not about the difficulties in our lives or the slips even. It's about what do you do after that? How do you respond? You understand? Everybody falls sometimes. Everybody has challenges. But what's going to distinguish those who are successful and those who are not is how do you respond when you fall? How do you respond when you fell in the... Okay, you fell. You fell into the sea. What did you do? Did you stay there or did you try to get up? We all face these challenges, but the question is, how do we respond? Are we able to get back up and keep going? But the reality is, we cannot do it if we're not healthy internally, right? Just like you can't possibly run a marathon if you aren't eating, drinking, or breathing. There's no way that you can handle the marathon of life if you're not taking care, if you're not feeding your heart, if your heart isn't getting its oxygen. So what we have to start to institute, right? And that's why these institutions are so important, is we have to create a daily routine. It just isn't going to work if we're eating once a month. We can't go to a lecture once a month and that's going to be enough. That's like saying I'm going to breathe once a month and I'm going to be good, right? You have to institute a consistent daily routine, just like you eat and you drink and you breathe. You have to take care of your heart. And the first and foremost part of that is the salah. See, I always feel like I haven't done justice to any talk about anything, spirituality, psychology, relationships, anything, if I don't talk about the salah. Because honestly, I feel it's kind of like someone goes to a doctor and the doctor doesn't even mention that you have to breathe. You know what I mean? Talks to you about organic food, right? Raw nuts, but doesn't tell you that you have to breathe. Yeah? So you're like, okay, I'll eat my organic, I'll drink my green juice, but I won't breathe. It is the essence of what keeps us alive. It's our oxygen. It's the oxygen of the heart. This is why the Prophet ﷺ, in his mission, it was the establishment of this attachment to Allah that we began with. Because that's the roots. That's asluha thabit. That's where the root is solid. Because now when a tree has solid roots, The wind comes, it doesn't knock it down. But if you have a tree that does not have solid roots, and unfortunately, as an ummah, in some cases, we don't have those solid roots sometimes. And when the wind comes and blows, and we have these trials of life, we have these challenges of life, they can knock us down. And it has everything to do with how solid our roots are. And so the first thing is the salah. We have to establish, you know, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about salah in the Quran, He doesn't just say that they pray. You know, Allah says, uses a very important word, iqam as-salah. Iqam as-salah means the establishment of salah. Because it can't just be something we do in Ramadan or something we do when it's convenient. That's like saying we breathe in Ramadan or we breathe when it's convenient. It has to be something you establish, right? Is there anyone in this room who has not established breathing? You're not that hungry, right? No one. We have to establish breathing just like we have to establish salah. And then second, and this is part of a prescription that is absolutely necessary to be able to get through this marathon of life. And that is we have to have dhikr in our life. What do I mean by dhikr? This is simply the remembrance of God, the remembrance of Allah. It has to be daily. When you look at the life of the Prophet ﷺ, when you look at his life, it's amazing to see that he had a dua for every single motion of life. Everything he did, there was a dua for it. If we look at his, you know, if you pick up a book like Fortress of a Muslim, or you get the app, My Dua with two A's, okay? Great app. It's just Fortress of a Muslim. I recommend everyone downloading this app. I do not get a cut, but it is the best 99 cents you'll ever spend. And when you get this, when you look at this, you see that the Prophet ﷺ, he had a supplication for every single walk of life, everything he did, before he ate, when he finished eating, entering the bathroom, leaving his house, coming into the home, driving, or, you know, going, transportation, right? Even before intimacy, there was a dua. What is the Prophet ﷺ training us to do? He is training us to constantly be oxygenating the heart. This is the food of the heart. This is how a person becomes strong. Do you know what a person has to do to be able... You don't just wake up and say, I'm going to run a marathon. Has anyone ever run a marathon? Okay, how much training? How long does it take? Months of training beforehand, right? Right? You can't just get up out of bed and say, today's the day I'm going to run a marathon. You have to actually train. And that's because the body cannot get to that point unless you train the body. And it's the same thing with the heart. You have to train the heart to be able to handle the marathon of life. And life is going to send you storms. The difference between people who get destroyed by their storms and the people who not only survive storms, there are people who can thrive inside storms. That's a skill that can only happen when you're trained spiritually. To be able to thrive even when the storm hits. That's what our prophets were, peace be upon them. But they were those who remembered Allah standing and sitting and on their sides. This is the formula that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us. الَّذِينَ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ قِيَامًا وَقُعُودًا وَعَلَى جُنُوبِهِمْ. That they are those who remember Allah standing and sitting and on their sides. They remember Allah when things go their way, and they remember Allah when things don't go their way. You know, sometimes we're fair weather servants of Allah. You know what I'm saying? You ever heard of a fair weather friend? Yeah. We sometimes are fair weather slaves, which is weird. But we know it's like conditional. Yeah, Allah, as long as you do this for me, but you know what? You didn't do this for me, so, right? Like, you didn't answer this dua in the way I wanted, so, you know, I'm not going to breathe today. Watch that, take that. Which is really weird, because when you don't breathe, are you hurting the doctor or yourself? Right? If you don't take the medicine, are you hurting the doctor or yourself? Well, you're hurting yourself. And so when we are depriving our hearts of the remembrance of Allah or turning away from Allah, trust me, we're not hurting Allah. Because Allah is al-ghani. Allah is completely self-sufficient and has no absolute need. We're the ones who are al-fuqara, which means we are the ones who are poor for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're the ones in need. And so when we deprive our hearts, we are the ones being deprived. We have to go back to having this foundation. And when we have a strong foundation, it's like building a fortress. And even when storms are going to come, challenges are going to come. They're going to face us individually, collectively, family, as we see. But that's what allows us to be resilient. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم إنه غفور رحيم سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت استغفرك وأتوب إليك